So tonight we are going to look at this passage of scripture before us as we continue to look in the book of Acts to see the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. And this is a very well-known passage to us tonight, Acts chapter 3. It has to do with Peter and John going into the temple at the hour of prayer. And I would just like to say to us here from the very outset that you will see that this is the first time since the church opened, since Pentecost, that we find that members are going back into the church, back into the temple at the hour of prayer. This is the first recorded time through the scriptures since Pentecost, since the experience of Pentecost, that we find the church open for the hour of prayer, which the word tells us is the ninth hour, meaning 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That they are going back into the temple for the evening's prayer. And it is very interesting here when you look at it. Because I have no doubt tonight that Jesus, for the many times that he had gone into the temple, would have passed this man sitting in this position. And I believe on more than one occasion, because the Bible said to us, and a certain man, verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I have a very strong feeling too, that Jesus may have passed this man there on probably more than one occasion. I believe Peter and John also passed him there before this time, as they would have gone into the temple at the time of prayer. But on this particular occasion, something was supposed to happen. It was timing on God's part. That the first time they are going into the temple after Pentecost, that something extraordinarily happened. Something happened here. And it proved to us that the God that we serve, his ways are past finding out. And he do the things that he does for reasons known best to him. And I believe what we need to do is to just fall in line whenever time he uses us to do something and give him the glory. Here is Peter and John going into the temple. And they were not the only ones. Many others, it was customary that they would have gone into the temple at this time. So there were many others going into the temple. But the Bible speaks to Peter and John here. And as they were going in, the word tells us, Peter seen and John about to go into the temple, said, "Look on us." Peter said to the man, "Look on us." Look on us, meaning myself and John. And of course, he's looking, expecting to receive something. And Peter declared, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And the word continued to say in verse 7 that I ask you to look on. "And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bone received strength. And after that, he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." It was something that was done in the open. A miracle which was done in the open. But the interesting thought tonight is the fact that this is the first recorded time that they are going in the temple after the Holy Ghost fell on the 120. And so, there are two things that we see from this passage here that I would like to look on for a little while. One, the name of Jesus. Two, the evidence. We're going to try to look on those two things tonight. The name of Jesus and the evidence. Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so, when Peter ministered that first sermon for the church after, on the day of Pentecost, after they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In that sermon, there are four times that Peter uses the word Jesus. And when we look at this the last time, we did not actually stop to see how many times Peter did use the four Jesus' name four times. Or even to see the reason why he did use it, those names, that name four times. But as I read this passage here, Acts 3, and I came to the place where he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," I find out that it must mean more than what is here. Why? As Peter was going into the temple the first time after Pentecost, he mentioned in such an outstanding way the name of Jesus. The name Jesus. And so I said, I wonder if we miss something in that sermon that Peter presented to the church at Pentecost. So I went back and I look at the sermon again. And I discover that it was four times that Peter uses the name Jesus. And the four times in which he uses the name, the impression is given that the name fits into four different categories. And these I'm going to look at as quick as I can to us. The first time that he uses the name Jesus in the sermon that he presented in Acts 2. Remember, his first sermon for the church was presented in Acts 2. So the first time that Peter uses the name in Jesus there, we need to see why. And in Acts 2, verse 22, in Acts 2, verse 22, go there with me, church. Peter said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth." There we go again. He said over there in Acts 3, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter here, and one of the things that we need to remember here, church, is that Peter was powered at this time by the Holy Ghost. Peter had just received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit on him. He was charged at this time as he's presenting this word in Acts 2. And one of the things that you need to remember also is when Jesus was introducing the Holy Ghost in Acts 16, in John 16, verse 13 and 14, you will remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, "When he is come, he shall not speak of himself, or he shall not glorify himself, but he shall glorify me." Acts 16, 13 and 14, if you read that, you will find where Jesus said, the Holy Ghost coming, but he is not going to speak of himself, but he shall glorify me. Now, Peter was charged with the Holy Ghost. He was under the heavy anointing of the Holy Spirit. When he said here in Acts 2, in that sermon, Acts 2, 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also no." Peter was introducing Jesus officially in the first sermon of the church. He was saying to them, "This, what you are seeing here, belongs to Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus." The Holy Ghost speaking through Peter was saying that this church, this work that you have seen from the falling of the Holy Ghost upon the 120, Jesus. And not only that he was saying that, but he was speaking to the point that this Jesus is a proof. Is a proof. Let's look at it one more time. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus Christ, a proof of God. God, the Father, has approved him to be the leader of the church, to be responsible for the activities that we are seeing here. And the name Jesus has taken now center stage, because God also, not only that he approved Jesus, but he approved the name, as the angel did said to Mary, his name shall be called Jesus. His name is no accident. His name shall be called Jesus. So God, Peter was saying, approve of him as a person and approve of his name, the name Jesus. And Peter mentioned there that it is Jesus of Nazareth. Because you must understand this. At that time, there were a lot of little Jesuses running around the place. A lot of little Jesuses. I mean, the name Jesus did not start with Jesus there. But many people had the name Jesus prior to this moment. In fact, I happen to see many t-shirts and many names. Many people, I mean, where I work, there are many names, many people that I encounter with that has a name spelled J-E-S-U-S. So before this, there were many people with the name Jesus. So Peter made mention of Nazareth, as he ties Nazareth with the word, with the name Jesus, to indicate which Jesus he's referring to. So the first mention of the name Jesus in Peter's sermon is to point out the fact that God has approved him, not only him as a person, but also by his name. And you remember two times recorded in the scripture where a sound from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." At his baptism, it was said, and at his transfiguration, it was said. Twice, that voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And Peter said, that person's name is Jesus. Now, the other time it was mentioned is Acts chapter 2, verse 32. The same presentation, the same message, in that same message, but verse 32. And let us see how it is mentioned here again. The first time it was mentioned to indicate to his listeners that God has approved him. The stamp of God is on him. He has met God's approval. Let us see how it was mentioned here the second time in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, whereof we are witnesses, Peter continued to say here. Peter is saying not only that God had approved of Jesus, but Peter was telling the crowd, everyone who was listening to him on the day of Pentecost, that not only that God approved of him, but I can declare to you, all of us, as here, as apostles, remember Peter was standing with the 11. The word said Peter was standing with the 11. So Peter said, we are witnesses. We are witnesses to his resurrection. We are witnesses to his sacrifice. We are witnesses to the fact that he has paid the price for our redemption. You remember what Mark said, Mark 16, and I think verse 7 said, Mark 16, I think verse 7 said, the woman saw when she went to the sepulchre early in the morning. She saw the stone rolled away from the door of the sepulchre. And a young man sitting inside said, he's not here, but he's risen. Go tell my disciples and Peter. That is the news from the tomb where she expects to see Jesus, Jesus' body. But instead of seeing Jesus' body, Jesus was raised from the dead. And she saw a young man in there that gave her the message and said, go tell my disciples and Peter that they should meet him in Galilee. And according to the writing for Matthew 28 tells us that when they went to Galilee and saw him, they worshipped him. So it is clear that Peter was saying, look, not only that God the Father had approved of him, but we are witnesses of his resurrection. We are witnesses of the fact that he had died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. The second time that the name Jesus was called in his presentation on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost was going somewhere. It's just that we didn't actually see it. We didn't actually see that the Holy Ghost was made sure all the loose ends were being tied up as to the identity of Jesus and who the church really belongs to. The Holy Ghost was making sure that the foundation was being laid, that there is no mistake as to whose name must be called against the church. Because the word did tells us in Matthew 16:16, that I will build my church. And my church, Jesus said, I will build my church. He identifies himself with the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter said, we, the apostles, were witnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection. And the third time that Peter uses his word, Peter uses his name, is Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36. Listen to what it says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye had crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, Peter now is taking it to another level. He's now taking the name Jesus to another level. So when he mentioned the name Jesus, we are now discovering that it is a loaded name. It's no wonder he identifies that this Jesus is the one from Nazareth. And so this Jesus, the name that this Jesus bears, is a loaded name. In this Jesus, it means Savior. In this Jesus, it means Lord. In this Jesus, it means authority. In this Jesus, it means the anointed one. In this Jesus, it means he is the Messiah. So Peter is here now saying, God had made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. So now we know not only that God has approved of the person and the name, not only that Peter and the rest of the apostles are witnesses to the redemption, process, his death, burial, and resurrection, but now we are hearing what is in the name, the authority that is in the name. What does Lord mean here? Lord in this context is one having divine power and authority. That is what it means here. When Peter said, God had both made him Lord. Lord. One having divine power and authority. And then Peter didn't stop there. But Peter went further by saying, Lord and Christ. And what Christ mean? The anointed one. What Christ mean? The Messiah. That the very people Peter was talking to were looking for. All the Old Testament speak of the coming Messiah. Peter was saying, this is the one in which you were waiting for. This is the one in which you were looking for. He is Lord and he is Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me just read something to you here to support the authority and the power that is vested in this name, the name Jesus. Look on Matthew chapter 16:16. John, look on, and let's look at Luke 4, verse 18. That speak of the anointing. That speak of the anointing. But let us look on St. John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. St. John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. St. John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Listen to what happened here. Jesus was witnessing by the well to this woman. And verse 25, St. John chapter 4, verse 25. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Have you seen that? I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. So it is clear that not only those people that were listening to Peter were aware of the Messiah coming, but even this woman at the well knew that the Messiah is coming. And she went on to say, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Listen to Jesus now. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. This is the same Jesus. I that speaketh unto thee am he. So what we get from this third presentation of Jesus' name here is that is what is vested is the power and the authority that is vested in the name. And that's why it is important that the Holy Ghost make mention of Jesus' name these different times here. And for different reasons, they were introduced by Peter. Let's look at the last presentation here, which is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Last time. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Last time Peter mentioned now the name in his presentation here. And this time it was mentioned that salvation can only be found in that name. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. There's another section, portion of scripture. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. Jesus' name is tied to the church. The church belongs to Jesus. Notice all the time, the Holy Ghost is silent. The Holy Ghost is silent. The name of the Holy Ghost is not being used at all. Because Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me. And this four presentation here by Peter covers all the different loose ends to make sure that everyone get the full picture that this which had happened, the Pentecostal experience and the church that has just been born, is linked to one person, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we get this straight tonight because of what we discover happened as they enter the church for the first time since Pentecost. And so we don't have to ask ourselves the question, how is it that this first miracle which is recorded, but I believe that there were things happened prior to this, but we're talking about what is recorded. The first miracle that was recorded after Pentecost, why the name Jesus was used so forcefully in this happening. And now we understand why the Holy Ghost present and introduced Jesus in the first sermon in such a way that following that first sermon, the name Jesus will become prominent, identifying with everything that goes on with the new church. And that lands us now into Acts chapter 3. Peter, as I said, and John probably had gone up into the temple and passed this man there before. But on this day, the first day, they are going in at 3 o'clock at the hour of prayer. Something happened. The Holy Ghost starts working. And Peter said, and John, to the man, look on us. And of course the man looked on them, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The same name that the Holy Ghost has mentioned four times in the first sermon of the church become center stage in the first miracle after Pentecost. Before I go into the evidence, because we said here we are going to look on two things. We're going to look on the name and we're going to look on the evidence. So before we go into the evidence, I'm going to pause here and I'm going to invite you for your thoughts, including if you have a comment on verse 7. Who will be the first?
Pastor, I think you have explained everything. Any thought we had, you already touched it, because one of my thoughts was identifying who Jesus was, which is Jesus of Nazareth. All right, so we have to leave that. You explained that. And what I did observe when I read it was the man that was asking for alms. And the scripture said that he was expecting to receive something. And the thought came to me that how many times, like when we pray to the Lord, we're supposed to be expecting the answer to our prayers. He said in Hebrews that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he was expecting something. And then what was he expecting? He was expecting the thing that he asked for, silver and gold.
And then
Peter said, answer to his question, silver and gold have I none. What I have, give I unto thee. And I was asking, what did Peter have now that he's giving unto this man? And I was just, this is right after Pentecost, so it was the power of the Holy Ghost within him that he had more. I mean, which is much better than silver or gold. But as you went on to speak about the Holy Ghost not speaking of himself but glorifying Jesus.
Yes.
This is exactly what happened when Peter said, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost power within him.
Yes.
The miracle to take place, and that was how Jesus was glorified.
Indeed.
You know, and also another thing you said, even Jesus may have passed this man there before, and Peter and all of that, but God has a time for everything, and it was not that time yet that he, Jesus, should be glorified, because as you said, the day of Pentecost did not come yet, and even maybe he had passed him before he went to the cross, you know. So, how many years from his mother's womb he's been born lame and laying there. So, people seeing him every day, know him every day. And the wonderful thing is when he got healing, now he was jumping up and praising God in the temple.
Bless God.
I mean, this man was also his. And you know something, Pastor? My sister Ellis is on the line here tonight. I remember one day in church when the Holy Ghost took a sister, that Sister Ellis herself invited to church. That lady danced in church under the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and with just a passageway that was just not even 4 feet wide. She never touched a chair. She was just leaping and dancing, and I was just thinking that is how the man was leaping and dancing in the church and praising God. You can imagine how many hallelujahs he was saying. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Bless the Lord.
Yes.
So that's
my
little point, Barbara.
Bless God. Thank you, Sister Barbara. Well said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Excuse Pastor. This is Brother Barker.
Yes, Brother Barker.
You said something that this man was leaping.
Yes.
Yeah. I said to also, he was leaping so much in the Lord Jesus, in the Spirit, that he forget the money.
All right, good. Yes, the Lord. Money not important anymore. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard that one before, Brother Barker. I have never heard that truth before. His priority now kicks in. His priority was to worship and praise, and not remembering that he was asking for money. What a difference! What a difference! And miracle makes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless Amen. God. Is there another thought that you'd like to share? Thank you, Brother Barker.
Welcome, Pastor.
Bless God. What a thought. Hallelujah.
Pastor, I was going to say something, but then when I heard Sister Barbara clear what she just cleared it up, right down to the nitty gritty, that I understood it even more. And then Brother Barker just solidified my answer so that I could understand it clearly. It was more than an eye opening. Solidified my thoughts, and it just came clear to me now.
Bless the Lord, my sister. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what I keep saying to us, that the Lord will reveal something to you from these passages of Scripture. And don't be afraid to say what the Lord has given to you. And because it will bless somebody else.
Yes.
And
Amen.
Of course. And so that's what Bible studies is all about. Because you will understand the Scripture, and I will learn something from what you're saying.
Amen.
Okay, can we have another thought?
Amen.
Anybody else would like to share something here?
Just a quote. I just want to quote this. The word of the Lord is a strong tower.
Yes.
And the righteous run in it. And we are safe.
Yes.
As you listen to the word of God, and as you listen to the different interpretation of the word from different ones, you know, you feel the strength of the word.
Yes.
You know, and you really feel that this is what I'm running in.
Yes.
And I feel safe. Because each person is sharing what the word is doing to them, and you know what the word is opening up their eyes to. And as you, a listener, just listen, your spirit, you know, your spirit bear witness, and you feel that lift within, that this is it, you know.
Yes. Bless the Lord, sister. Iron sharpens iron, and that is what we're doing tonight. Yes. Go ahead, Pastor.
The name Jesus was given to Mary by the angel.
Yes.
We find in Luke. In Luke, tells us here in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
Yes.
The name is spelled all in cap letters. The name Jesus, there is power in the name. There is healing in the name.
Yes.
There is deliverance in the name.
Yes.
And it's through the name that Lazarus rose from the dead.
Yes.
The name Jesus is very powerful. It's all powerful because it's given by God. And Jesus came to demonstrate the power of God over the enemy, which is death and darkness.
Yes.
So there is power in the name of Jesus. There is life in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. It's a powerful name. And how much we need to use that name. We need to use the name. Just like how we need to use God, who is the God of peace. Jesus is Savior. And He's healer. And He's the bread of life. He's the light. That's Jesus. So Jesus plays a very important part in the kingdom of God and in our lives as well. We have to walk in the light as He is in the light. And if we walk with Him, then we will walk in light. So Jesus, the word Jesus means life. Savior. Savior. So we have seen Peter, who was called by Jesus after his death and his resurrection, to feed the lamb, feed the sheep, and that's what Peter is doing. He will be used also on the day of Pentecost. He represented the apostles, and he spoke of Jesus. We today, who are disciples of Christ, we need to lift up His name. The Word of God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We as disciples need to lift up the name of Jesus. There is peace in His name. There is power in His name. And how we need that today.
Indeed.
Power
of
God.
Indeed.
And the peace of God, which is demonstrated through the name Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that contribution to us tonight. I trust that you follow what was being said, and you you have also received a different hearer of what Jesus represents from Pastor's presentation there. But I wonder if there is just one more person of another contribution that you'd like to make before we go on to the incident. Yes, my sister. Yes, Sister Mary.
This is why we have to look and see how long that man was sitting at that gate. He did not have any intention in his mind, I believe, that he would walk again. Because he is here from he was a young man until he grew up. And he's still not walking.
Yes.
It's because God has to prove. He has to wait. The Bible said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he has to wait until God's time. Whatsoever happened, that he could ever walk again. God do not work on. God is the one who created the time. God is the one who ruled the time. God is the one who proved the time that this is today, this is going to happen. And that is why he was so happy and he was glorifying God in his own way. Because he didn't have any intention in his life that he would walk.
Yes. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for that contribution, Sister Mary. Bless the Lord. To support Sister Mary's thoughts, the word tells us that man was over 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He was over 40 years old when he received that healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings us to the second part of this presentation, and I will not be along with it, seeing that time has gone so much. Where does faith, where can we look on this passage and see the element of faith working? It is in the same verse 7 that that I ask you to look on. Verse 7 said, and he looked, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Follow me carefully, church. Follow me carefully. As Sister Mary presentation a while ago, just bring this out even clearer to us. Peter, remember, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given I thee, in the name, and I don't know at this point if a crowd had gathered around the scene, because something was happening, and people were, it was on the way, it was in the path way to the gate, to the entrance of the temple. So people was walking close by them. So some people may have stopped as you know, how curious people can be. And when Peter made a statement, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man sits same way. The man was still sitting. Now all these people who were there heard Peter with confidence make that statement. And the man was still sitting.
Peter.
Now, I want to say to the church tonight, here, that sometime you and I give up on a situation. Sometime you and I say, boy, I prayed about this so much and nothing happened. I even heard some believers said, boy, I don't know if I should continue praying anymore. I heard that one particular brother who's head over me in where I work. He made a statement, a rather discouraging statement, that I don't know if I should continue to pray. Because what he has been praying for has not yet been realized. Peter and John could say to themselves, look, I guess I was wrong. And walk away and go into the temple. Because he had just said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's a command based on the power of the Holy Ghost in him and the authority that is vested in the name of Jesus. But Peter himself need to demonstrate his faith in the name. Come on, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Come on, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Come on, somebody. Peter himself need to demonstrate the faith in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, we took him by the hand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Maybe Peter.
Hallelujah.
Peter might have.
Hallelujah, church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
you don't hear what I just said to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you didn't hear that. And Peter demonstrates the faith that he has in the name of Jesus. Grab him by the hand and pull him up. Hallelujah. The Bible said it was at that point when Peter pulled him up that immediately his ankle bone received strength.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said, where is your faith?
Amen.
The Bible, Jesus asked the disciples, where is your faith?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said we should have faith in God. Hallelujah. Jesus knew that we have faith in the name of Jesus. Believe, brethren, tonight, God has not changed.
Amen. No. Great expectation.
Our faith has gotten weak, but God has not changed.
No, cannot.
And healing
power
is still,
in the name.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Let me read something to us here. John 14, let me read this passage of scripture here. John 14, 12 to 14, I read. Listen to this, church. Jesus speaking now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What greater works mean? Greater in terms of volume. In terms of volume. Because nobody can do greater work than what Jesus did in terms of healing the sick, raising the dead, and all the rest of it. But in terms of volume, greater works he can do. And then listen to the next verse 13. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if he shall, and for emphasis, listen to what Jesus said again in verse 14. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
amen.
Church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Peter exercised faith in the name of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
When he pulled him by the hand and pulled him up. And at that time, when he pulls him up, strength went into his ankle bone.
Amen.
And the man starts leaping and jumping and giving God thanks and went with them into the temple.
And all the people, Pastor, all the people know.
Every one of those who were there, who thought for a minute that Peter and John did not have any power, based on what you have just said, when they saw what happened, my Lord, everything changed.
Everything changed.
It is a witness to the healing power of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When you see someone healing in church, Pastor, people start to jump and clap.
Yes. Yes, my sister. My sister, I am longing to see this happen in the church.
Amen.
Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And I just want to make this quick point before I go. Sometimes Peter, in fact, Peter said to the man, listen to this. Peter said to the man, silver and gold have I none. Sometimes we allow what we don't have to stop what we have. You know that? Sometimes we allow what we don't have to overshadow what we have. I must admit to you tonight that none of us here have everything. But all of us have something. All of us have something.
Amen.
All of us have something. Even a little influence. You might have an influence somewhere where you can put in a word for a brother or put in a word for a sister to get that sister foot through the door or to get that brother foot through the door. Use your influence. That is what you got. Hallelujah. That is what you got to bless your brother. That is what you got to bless your sister. You don't have silver and gold. We intend to measure everything in dollars and cents. And that is what Peter said we don't have. We don't have any money. But we're going to give you something that we do have. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.
Amen. Amen. A spiritual hug and a spiritual squeeze.
And Pastor, you remember once Jesus sent out the disciples and tell them, don't take no script, no money in their purse, nothing at all.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't go in the name of Jesus. Even where they want to, even where they're supposed to sleep, any man who opened the door and let you in, then you say, peace on that house.
Yes. And Sister Barbara, you know, the nice part about that, when the old thing was finished, Jesus asked them, were you in need of anything? At any time, were you in need of anything? And all of them said, no, we were properly treated along the way. Because of who? The man called Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I am longing to see this happen again in the church.
Amen.
And believe me, church, it can happen because God has not changed. The word said we must have faith in God and we will see these things come to pass. Bless the Lord.